Welcome back, and get ready to make some serious drum and bass snare attitude in Ableton Live 12. In this lesson, we're building a retro rave snare snap lab for jungle and old school DNB vibes, and the big goal is not just to make a snare louder, we want it to hit hard, feel gritty, and then bounce right back into the groove like it belongs on a dusty 90s breakbeat record. We're going to use a resampling workflow, which is one of those classic producer moves that make sound design feel way more musical. You build the snare, process it, record it back into audio, and then edit it like a sample. That's where the magic starts. So first, open a new live set and set the tempo to around 170 BPM. That's a great starting point for jungle and modern drum and bass. Then load a drum rack onto a MIDI track and put a snare on one pad. Keep it simple at first. A clean acoustic snare, a short rave snare, or even a basic 909 style snare from the stock library will work fine. For the pattern, start with the classic foundation. Kick on beat 1, snare on beats 2 and 4. Don't overcomplicate it yet. In drum and bass, the snare has to survive when the bass and break elements come in, so we want a strong and clear starting point. Now let's shape the snare inside the drum rack before we resample anything. On the snare chain, add drum bus first, then saturator, then EQ8. This is a super useful beginner chain, because it gives you punch, grit, and cleanup in a really controlled way. Start with drum bus drive somewhere around 10 to 20%. Use the transient control to bring out the front edge of the hit, maybe around plus 10 to plus 25. Keep boom off for now, or very low, because we do not want the snare fighting the sub area. Then add a little saturator drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB. After that, use EQ8 to high pass around 120 to 180 Hz so the snare stays out of the low end. This is one of the biggest drum and bass snare lessons right here. The snare needs punch in the mids, not too much bulk in the lows. The kick and sub need that space, especially once you bring in a re-space or a dense break. If the snare feels too soft, push the transient. If it feels too dull, add a touch more saturation. If it feels muddy, cut some low mids around 250 to 500 Hz. Think of this stage as building the attitude of a snare before you commit it to audio. Next, we're going to give it a little retro rave space, but keep it tight. Add hybrid reverb or regular reverb after the shaping devices. Use a short decay, somewhere around 0.4 to 1 second. Keep pre-delay around 10 to 25 milliseconds, and keep the dry slash wet low, maybe 5 to 12%. The point is not to drown the snare. We just want it to feel like it hits a room, not like it disappears into a giant wash. Old school rave snares often had a little metallic room energy, but they still stayed focused and punchy. If you want a touch more attitude, you can add a tiny bit of echo after the reverb. Keep it very subtle, maybe 1/16 or 1/8 timing, low feedback, and only a small amount of wet signal. This is more about character than obvious delay. Now here comes the key workflow move. Create a new auto track and set its input to resampling. Arm that track, play your MIDI pattern, and record the processed snare as audio. This is where the sound becomes a sample object instead of just a live instrument. Why do this? Because resampling freezes the exact tone you like, gives you a waveform to edit directly, and makes the whole process feel more like classic jungle production. A lot of that music was built by printing sound and then chopping it back up. Ableton makes that super fast. Record a few bars, not just one hit. You want to hear how the snare behaves inside the groove. Then zoom in on the waveform and find the cleanest hit. Trim the start so the transient begins right on time, and tighten the tail if needed. If there's a click, add a tiny fade in. If the hit feels long, cut it shorter. At this point, you can even consolidate that clean snare hit and drag it into a fresh drum rack pad. That turns it into a custom sample, which is exactly the kind of old-school workflow that gives your drums personality. Now let's make a second version with more snap on the top end. You can duplicate the resampled audio or duplicate the snare chain and process a brighter variation. Add a little EQ8 high shelf boost around 6 to 10 kHz. Push saturator a bit more, maybe 4 to 8 dB. Increase the transient slightly. If you want extra grit, you can try a tiny bit of redux, but keep it very light. The idea is to create contrast. One version gives you body and smack. The other gives you top-end snap and presence. Layer them together carefully so they work as a team. In drum and bass, layered snares should feel focused and mono-friendly, not wide and messy. Now let's make the groove come alive. Put the snare into a two-bar drum pattern and start adding a little movement. A very quiet ghost snare just before beat 2, or just after it, can add a lot of swing. You can also add a tiny offbeat hit in the second bar to create variation. If you're using MIDI, play with velocity. Make the ghost notes lighter and the main hits stronger. If you're working with chopped auto, adjust note lengths and placement carefully. Ableton's groove pool can also help if you want a subtle swing feel, but keep it gentle. You want jungle energy, not a random shuffle. This is where the beat starts feeling like it belongs to the break, not like a stiff loop. Old school jungle and EDM often feel alive because the snare interacts with the rest of the drums. Even if you're using stock sounds, small timing and velocity changes make a huge difference. Once the snare layers are working, route them to a group bus and do a little final glue processing. Use EQ8 for cleanup, glue compressor for cohesion, and maybe a touch more drum bus if it needs attitude. A good starting point for the compressor is around a 2:1 ratio with just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. Keep the attack a little slower, maybe 10 to 30 milliseconds, so the transient can punch through. Use auto-release or something around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. You want control without flattening the hit. If the snare gets too flat, back off the compression before you reach for the volume knob. In DNB, punch matters a lot. A snare that feels alive will always beat a snare that just feels loud. Now think about arrangement. This snare doesn't need to do one job only. In the intro, you can use a filtered or delayed version. In the build-up, bring in the brighter layer. In the drop, use the full snare with a short gritty tail. And for switch-ups, chop it, reverse it, or double it at the end of a phrase. That phrase-ending trick is really useful. A little snare fill or doubled hit at the end of 4 or 8 bars helps the track feel arranged, not looped. It gives the listener a sense that something is about to happen, which is especially important in DJ-friendly drum and bass. Before you finish, save your work. Save the drum rock as a preset. Keep the resampled audio in a dedicated folder and rename your versions clearly. Things like body, top, and resampled will save you a lot of confusion later. Here's the big takeaway. A great DNB snare is not just a hit. It's part of the groove, part of the texture, and part of the arrangement. Resampling lets you shape it like a sample from a classic jungle library, and Ableton Live 12 gives you a fast way to keep refining it until it really snaps. For your practice, try making 3 versions. One clean retro snap with just drum, bus, and EQ. One ravey version with short reverb and a tiny echo. And one darker, more aggressive version with a little more saturation and transient edge. Put them into a 2-bar loop at 170 BPM and listen to how each version changes the vibe. If you can hear the difference between clean, ravey, and dark, you're already thinking like a drum and bass producer. Nice work. Now go make that snare hit like it came straight out of an old jungle tape, but with your own modern Ableton twist.